In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. In our gospel reading we heard this morning, Jesus heals a man with dropsy. Now, dropsy is a disease, a condition where the cells in the body retain fluid and begin to swell. Often limbs and joints are the most noticeable places this swelling occurs. The more dropsy progresses, the more this swelling takes hold, the more painful and debilitating this disease becomes. And if left untreated, dropsy is eventually fatal. Eventually will take a person's life. The most common cause of dropsy in antiquity was malnutrition. It could be a lack of adequate calories, a vitamin deficiency, or just a severely unbalanced diet. So Jesus is having a meal with a ruler of the Pharisees. Now, Pharisees were the self-righteous, legalistic, religious zealots of the day. People whose compassion for other human beings stops as soon as religious rules are invoked. And this was a gathering of not only Pharisees, but the home of the ruler of the Pharisees. About as joyless a lunch as you could possibly imagine. And it says of Jesus, they would watch his every move because they wanted to discredit him. Now, there's this man there with dropsy, this painful swelling disease. Luke doesn't tell us why he's there. Is he a servant? Did he just wander in off the street? We don't know. What we do know is Jesus is so full of compassion, he's going to heal the man. And Jesus also knows that these religious zealots are going to be upset about it. They're going to be mad about it. Now, why would they be mad about a healing? Well, it's the Sabbath, the day of rest. And they considered healing to be work. To them, to heal was a violation of this sacred day. And there's also an underlying prejudice going on. To these men, if you are sick, it is because you are a sinner. A chronic illness was a sign of God's displeasure in you. And so they felt no problem looking down on you because God already does. Now, of course, Jesus heals this man anyway, and then he turns to these judgy religious leaders asking, if your child or even your ox fell into a pit on the Sabbath, you'd pull them out, wouldn't you? And yet here you judge me for having compassion on a human being right in front of us, just because you consider him somehow less than yourselves. Before we go into an interpretation of this encounter, there is one more very important thing to know about the disease dropsy. As we mentioned, left untreated, dropsy was nearly always fatal, and here's why. Besides the visible swelling of joints and limbs, the part that you could see, there was also an invisible swelling of the tissue around the heart. And as painful as the swelling in the limbs was, what eventually took the person's life was a constricted heart. So there are a couple of spiritual lessons I'd like us to consider for ourselves today. When we compare the man with dropsy to the ruler of the Pharisees, who placed religious law above compassion, which one really had the constricted heart? Now, one had it physically, to be sure, but the other spiritually. And a spiritually constricted heart is far more dangerous. Dropsy might destroy the body. A spiritually constricted heart destroys a person's very soul, destroys our deepest humanity. Michelle and I went with Ben and Kira to see A Christmas Carol last week, the play at the Guthrie. It's a very popular show. It sells out most nights throughout the entire season. But why is this story of Ebenezer Scrooge such an enduring, beloved classic? I think the same could be asked about the more modern stories that follow, like Grinch and Elf. Now, why do we love these tales? It's as human beings, we cherish a story in which a constricted heart is loosed. And We love Bob Cratchit and Cindy Lou Who and Buddy so much, right? It's our deepest wiring to love with an open heart. We're born that way. And we love it when we see characters in a story. It is our deepest wiring to love. And yet if we've lived long enough, we've all felt what it's like to have that heart of ours constricted. Suffer enough pain, suffer enough grief, get backstabbed one too many times, well, that hurts. And if you're like me, your heart closes just a little bit every time that happens. And I think that's why we love these stories when a constricted heart opens again, you know, whether it's Scrooge or Grinch or Walter Hobbs. You know, a heart rediscovering boundless love brings us back to the purity of our childlike heart. It brings us back to the way we know our heart was created to be and the way it once was. You know, when Jesus says to these Pharisees, if your child or even your ox falls into a pit, wouldn't you rescue them? Jesus is not saying that to humiliate these people. He's trying to get them to remember. He's trying to get them to remember the childlike open love, to remember love without prejudice and, dare I say, without limits. Jesus knew in that moment the memory of an open-hearted love had the best chance to soften these hardened hearts and to bring out the tender heart buried so long ago and still struggling to hang on in there somewhere. And maybe one more lesson from the healing of the man with dropsy is to remember that the leading cause of this swelling in antiquity, this constricted heart, was malnutrition. On a physical level, that would mean not getting enough nutrients and or getting your calories from bad sources. On a spiritual level, it means pretty much the same thing. Not enough love in our diet. Not enough holiness and beauty. Not enough moments for inner peace. And then too much energy from unhealthy sources, anger and prejudice and judgment and fear and noise. And the damage is amplified, like with the Pharisees, when these sources are disguised as religious. Fortunately, the antidote to spiritual dropsy, to a constricted heart, is simple. Not always easy, mind you, but it is simple. There's a reason God came to earth first as a little child, as a baby in Bethlehem. And one of those reasons was to help us remember our inner child's open heart, to remember life before pain and prejudice, to remember that inside each of us, just like in the Christ child, is a heart capable of being unconstricted, or at the very least, to begin becoming less constricted. To remember a heart capable, a heart designed for inner peace and beauty and holiness and boundless love. Amen.